Andy, how's it going this week?
It's going well. Yeah, I was saying before we started recording that, like, the closest thing to a win in this house hunt we've had is being the official backup offer. So, I mean, at this point, I'll take that. We'll see if it anything goes with there. But, I mean, it's progress. So, other than that, though, things are going well with the business. Just kind of deep into content planning and process work and all that sort of thing. So, a lot of moving pieces, but it's been good how things have been on your end.
Good, good. We have our new head of growth, Sam, is starting on Monday. So a lot of stuff, just kind of paperwork and organization, getting a computer and all that kind of stuff, getting ready for him to start. I'm super excited about it. Like, I'm just excited that he's been kind of where we are, all the way to like 5 million in revenue, you know, and so just like having someone who's been there before is going to be really great. Like, I'm looking forward to really someone pretty senior being on the team in that respect. Looking forward to that, but been doing, you know, a fair bit of like the administrative stuff to get ready for that. I feel like we're always honing in our onboarding of new employees process and sequence and stuff, and it's getting better, but it's definitely kind of a thing. So yeah, feeling good about it, but it's still a fair amount of work.
Yeah, I don't know if we're quite at the spot where we're like dialing in the onboarding process for employees. It's like I have a checklist of accounts to set up for them, and try to be like a little bit deliberate about things around that, but definitely a lot we can do there. When was it that you started thinking more seriously about just the intentionality behind bringing on a new employee?
I think it was when it's been several months now. We hired two developers and then we hired two support people, kind of all at the same time. And it was just like, we might as well have a system so that we can kind of repeat the process for all four of these people. And then now, like, we're hiring Sam, and then we'll hire, you know, developers or whatever. Like, you know, from there, it's much more simple. Yeah, we have a checklist. A lot of it is actually handled through Gusto. Like, a lot of stuff is just easier in Gusto, which is nice. But then, you know, it's just like, you know, set up their email and then invite them to all the stuff. So like when they go and open their email, they have the invites to all the stuff that they need. And it's just, you know, common sense stuff like that. It's not rocket science at this point, but it's getting better.
Nice. And then last time we had talked, we kind of touched on like doing some one-to-many webinars or demo calls, that sort of thing. I know you were experimenting with that. Like, pretty much like right after this call, we're going to be doing our first one with customers. Mm. But how has the experiment been going so far?
So we've had one going on for a while, which is kind of a success kind of call, like troubleshooting, getting set up, but a lot of technical questions. And we've been having several people a week on that call. We added one just for people that are using Casto, so they're not using WordPress at all. And it's really just like how to get set up, how to publish your first episode. And we introduce it to people the day after they sign up via drip, just an email. And we've just not had any adoption to it. We've had a couple of people register, but literally like, I think one person show up in the last 2 weeks total. And so, you know, something about it's off. I don't know if it's how we position it or when or how we deliver that message or what, but at this point, it's not solving, you know, the problem that we have, which is people sign up and are stuck or confused or whatever, and just are not engaging and getting started. So it's not been our best effort so far.
So it's positioned as like the fastest way to get started with Castos kind of a thing. Is the problem people not getting started? Not with the call, but like in general, like is that the sticking point for onboarding? Like they don't do anything or?
Yeah, I mean, I think the why behind people not engaging is maybe the thing we still don't know. You know, it's like they don't get started because ? You know, because they don't have their mic yet, because they don't, you know, they're scared to record their voice, because they don't understand what an RSS feed is, because they are building their website. You know, I don't know, like it could be all of those things, but our goal with these calls was just to find that out, you know, to put something in front of folks to say, let's talk about this and see how we can help you.
My thinking would be, on the one hand, most of those examples that you gave, I feel like are things that someone would be experiencing that means they're not a good fit. So it's like you can educate them on that, but like if they're buying if they're in the trial and they're going out and buying a microphone like during the trial, I just feel like the chances of getting them to actually convert are pretty low. And so that would just be my thing is like, I don't know if that's so much of a sticking point or like they just might be not qualified. And it seems like they could have some nurturing content, some other things to help get them there. But I don't know if like the higher touch way is the way of doing it. But I mean, honestly, what I would think about doing is doing it as a one-to-one call while you're figuring this out. Because if you're not sure where they're getting stuck, it's going to be really hard to position it. Like the way we're approaching this is for us is just calling it office hours. We're going to segment it to trial users and then another one for customers. Maybe it's not necessary and we'll kind of see. But my assumption is that just like the people in the trial are going to be asking more kind of getting started questions. But just having spent so much time in the support inbox, there obviously seems to be some general confusion around the product, which we're working on with our onboarding and better just like demos, like videos and things like that, and like improving the actual product as well. But a huge chunk of the friction just seems to come from more one-off type of questions or just like really specific things that it's hard to like create documentation for. And it's just more than just the product itself. It's more about the like, why should I do this? What should I be looking to do? Not like the how do I do this? And so that's why we're kind of just viewing it as like, okay, like here's an open forum to ask whatever question comes up. Still need to think about how we position it. But I'm hoping like, yeah, it's just like, hey, if you have questions, come here, you'll get answers. I'm hoping that's an appealing proposition. But yeah, I don't know. And I think the other component to it is we're going to have our support team push people towards that as well. Like they're going to still answer all the questions that come in, but they might not need to go as deep if in a few hours, this office hours are coming up and they know they can get a better answer there. It's like, give someone the best answer we can, point them to another video, but then say, hey, if you need more, I strongly recommend checking out these office hours. Mm. So I think it's kind of having a few different touch points.
Yeah. So, I mean, we did the one-on-one calls a while back, like folks who listen to the show might remember. And like I was doing a fair amount of them. Matt was doing a fair amount of them. And maybe that's something we look at. Maybe we offer this getting started thing like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or every day. You know, it's 30 minutes every day. Maybe that would be another thing to try. But yeah, I mean, we're going to give this another couple of weeks probably, see how it goes. And if nothing happens like it is, then we'll do something different. But I think the idea of what we're talking about is really sound, you know, for probably several reasons. We're just not hitting the mark exactly right.
What's the schedule right now?
It's noon on Tuesdays.
Okay.
And then we have a more kind of success call on Thursdays at noon.
Okay. We're coming at it from very different angles. It's like what we're doing is going to be doing, yeah, just Monday through Friday and then seeing if we should scale down, like if we need it every day, what it looks like. And I have no idea what to expect, really. I'm pretty optimistic about the one for the customers because of the Slack community we have. Like we know we have a lot of people just regularly engaging in there throughout the day, like every day. And so I think a lot of those types of our members will just want to come to this. It's like a more interactive way of engaging on things that they're already doing. And the hard part, I think, is just going to be making it known, like, hey, at this time, this is where it is. So it's like, I sent out an email today, but since it is every day, it's like, I'm not going to send out an email reminder every single day to everybody about it, but I'll probably tag everyone in Slack every morning when we start and also just be more deliberate about getting people into Slack as well and just kind of use that. But yeah, I'm really just not too sure what to expect.
Yeah, let us know how it goes next week when we talk. I'll be keen to hear how, you know, what you will have had a week of these calls. So it'll be interesting to hear how it goes for you all.
And then for the success one, how long have you, that one is, I forget, is that newer or has you been doing
that?
No,
we've been doing that for months, you know, really kind of since Matt started. So six months probably.
And that you say gets like a few typically?
Yeah, a few to a handful of people every week. And a fair amount of it is like technical, like how do I do this with WordPress or Elementor or what my feed, you know, some of it is like, hey, I want to sell advertising. How do I sell advertising? Which is really, that's like the spirit of like a success calls, like how do I do better at being a podcaster, not nuts and bolts, how do I set this thing up? And so trying to, and I think it's difficult to try to position those differently to people, even at different points in the funnel, you know, or the buying process or customer journey.
Like I'm trying to identify where they're at in the journey and then positioning the product accordingly, or do you mean something
else? Yeah, but even like the person, like two people at the same point in the journey could need different calls. Mm-hmm. One person could need how do I become a better podcaster? And a different person at the same point in the journey could have a, you know, how do I make this button do what I want it to do kind of thing.
Well, when you were doing those one-on-one calls, what was sort of the, not outcome, but what did you get from it? Like, what were the trends? What were the things that stood out to you from those?
Yeah, a fair amount of it was questions about how podcasting works and how, you know, how do you do this? How do you launch? So both like the nuts and bolts of how to get started, how to be successful, some around like pricing. And this is the one that is just not scalable, I think, is like people asking like content kind of questions. Like, hey, I want to start a podcast about underwater basket weaving and I want to have it be 7 minutes, you know, and like all this. And like, I don't know, that's just like, that's really challenging because like there's not a right answer for all that stuff. I don't feel like I don't feel like it's where we add the most value, maybe I should say. It is like, I feel like, you know, we can help people get started podcasting and getting their show live and stuff. And from there, the creative stuff is like, I don't know, I guess it's not what I had in mind for those calls. I'm trying not to say the creative stuff isn't important because once you get started, it's kind of all that's important, you know? And so I think, again, maybe it's like the different point in the buying journey. Like people were starting and they were asking us these creative questions. And in my mind, I was like, how do we get you going so that you're podcasting? And so I don't know, that was a disconnect, I guess, from like my expectations almost.
Do you have ideas? Like, did you put anything in motion for how to just directly get them over that hump? Or like, is this what you're working on now? Like sort of that
Yeah. Project? So I think the Academy was kind of born out of a lot of what we heard in those calls, because the Academy has the, how do you get started? It has the gear. It has the, how do you create great content? We're adding more stuff in there all the time, private podcasting monetization, you know? And so I think that we took what we heard there, distilled it down into something that's scalable and repeatable and on demand. And we're having more people sign up to the Academy now than we had booking calls with us, which means that like from a scalability and like repeatability perspective, that's successful as a medium.
Right. This is kind of, something I go back and forth with myself a lot as I've been thinking through this, where originally the thinking was that these office hours for trial users would be heavily promoted to the people who aren't doing much as a way to get them over the hump. And I almost think that's backwards. I think there's going to, in the markets that we're in, which it is funny that like there's so many similarities between what we like, who we serve, but you're just going to get a ton of people that they're not ready for this. They're way too early in the process. And it's not to say you can't help them, but we probably shouldn't be spending all of our time focused on them. And so I think where I'm shifting my thoughts on this now is like, make sure the office hours are available to everyone, that they know it exists. But don't waste a ton of time trying to cater to people who very likely aren't going to be good fits. And so that was kind of the big driving force where I put together a course on really just like getting started on like, here is what you need to know. Because a lot of times you just get very basic questions like, how do I win? Is the simplest way to like dumb down a lot of the questions we're getting. And they weren't that different than that. One thing that I've thought a lot about recently is just what segments we're really going after of this. And obviously there's a customer versus trial user, but even within that, going into it, I had originally planned on just like in our drip sequence, really pushing this hard for the people who hadn't done anything. It's like, okay, have you built lineups yet? Have you built X number of lineups? Have you built Y number of lineups? Like, no. Like, okay, push this, keep pushing this. I don't know if that makes sense, because I just think the people who aren't doing anything, like truly aren't doing anything, are probably almost just self-qualifying themselves out. And that's not to say that we shouldn't have resources for them and try to help, but I don't know that we should be spending significant amounts of efforts going after them. It's like, instead, we should be finding the ones who got started but struggled a little bit. Or the ones who are using it, but like maybe we could get them to use it even more and like become a raving fan, or maybe even like upgrade to the annual plan, like other things. I just think it's very easy to focus on the things that aren't going well and try to spend all your efforts to raise that rather than just like doubling down on the people that are already getting success. And it was kind of, this is what drove me to create the sort of first iteration of our course on like beating daily fantasy baseball. Was the most common question we get is some form of how do I win? And the people asking that, some of them will put in the work and like figure things out and stick around. Most of them are not. They're looking for like, click this, do that, and like you're going to start printing money. And like, that's not how it works. And when they realize that, they leave. But I just can't spend all my time on them, because a lot of those people too, they're not going to invest in setting their calendar to this and showing up to that. Like, it's just like they're not that invested in it. And so it's finding ways to give them scalable resources that I don't have to record live. I don't have to do this and that. I can push them towards, here's a curriculum, and we've made it. A big thing I focus on is making it as simple as possible and making it as step-by-step as possible. So it's like, rather than just dumping them into this thing that has dozens of articles and all this, it's like, no, like here are the four or five videos that walk you through the basics of getting started. And I mention other videos to look at once you get this down, but I'm really just emphasizing like, keep it simple for this. And so, yeah, I'm more just trying to think about who should we even be going after here? Like who are the ones that this type of thing will actually help?
I think what you're saying is spot on, that like the going after the people that are close to converting anyhow, or close to qualifying and being ready to get value from your tool, is the right way to go. It's kind of like focusing on bottom of the funnel marketing stuff. I think the challenge is some of these questions that people have, like they just want to talk to somebody about, you know, like from our end. And so like, it's almost like, okay, it might not be the most efficient, but like it is the most efficient like vehicle to connect with these people. Like a lot of folks don't want a course. They want to talk to a human and, you know, get their feelings out. And so like, I think that's where we're torn a little bit on like, okay, the academy for us and like the course for you is great for certain people that want to consume certain content certain ways. But there are others that just want, like, they want you to call them on their cell phone. And like, that's obviously not like scalable or possible in a lot of scenarios, but like, trying to meet people where they want to consume the information and engage and stuff is something that we're trying to do, you know, the right thing for everybody. And it's just, I think at some point you have to say, this is what we can do and this is what we can't do, and kind of, you know, be happy with whatever that means.
Have you found that the people looking for that much handholding are good customers?
They can be. They typically have one really specific thing they need, and then it's good from there. So some of them are very challenging customers, but some of them just have one very specific thing they need help on. They get over that hump and they're good. Yeah, I think what you're alluding to is that, you know, they could just be challenging forever, and that's certainly possible.
Yeah, because I mean, there are plenty of times when I'm buying software and I would love to get on a call. It just be like, okay, I'm looking to do X, Y, and Z. Like, can I do this? Or how would I do this? How to do it? Like, just a very simple, straightforward thing. And it's just much easier to get on a call with someone knowledgeable about the product to go over. Because if a lot of times, like on support, their first assumption is not what I meant. And because often it's a big kind of specific use case or whatever it may be. And so I don't want to go back and forth. I'd rather just like get this done with and figure it out.
Yeah.
But there's also people who just ask a thousand of fucking questions. Like they just don't stop. And it's always just like, one other thing in this, and oh, what about that? What about this? What about that? And like that goes on for a couple months until they churn. Mm. And like that's the biggest thing, is maybe one out of 10, maybe, of those customers sticks around for 6 months.
Yeah.
But that's pushing it. And I don't think it's worth saving that. So it's just, I don't know. I don't have like an answer here, but it's just something that I'm grappling with, is how do we provide people with the right resources without losing all hope of an ROI on some of it. And how do you segment and how do you do this and that? And there's no obvious thing jumping to my mind, but it's just, yeah,
two other kind of like data points. And like, we don't have answers for these, but one is we're planning out how we're going to roll out live chat in the app. We're email only right now, and we're going to roll out live chat through Zendesk soon. So that I think will add a variable in this whole dynamic of like, if we spend a little more time in chat with people, can we avoid the calls and the whatever and get them set up right? I don't know, but I feel like it's something we need to really give a try to. And the other thing is we had Cam from Hopscotch, and we'll link this up in the show notes, email in and kind of let us know about tool he's building, which is kind of an AppQueues competitor. I know you guys are using AppQueues. We've looked at AppQueues and a couple of other tools like Hopscotch. And I think something like that, like an onboarding wizard or an onboarding checklist or something, is something that we're going to do, because people get in, they see this big just wall of, and we try very hard to have like the best possible tool, but like, you know, people get stuck and they skip this step and they don't know how to get back to that step. And so I think like even an onboarding checklist, even whether it's a wizard or a checklist or something like that, I think will do some good, even if it's from like a product usage and metrics perspective. Like if we pipe in the activity from the checklist or the wizard into our product metrics tool, which I'm totally blanking on, and it's kind of like mixed panel. But anyways, so, you know, we should start piping stuff in there, and then we can get some real data about like from a product perspective, like where are we falling short? So like, those are all just things that like we have to do at some point, and we'll introduce more variables and hopefully, you know, a little bit better solution to this that we're all facing, I think. But yeah.
Yeah. And that one's at hopscotch1word.club. So definitely we keep an eye on that myself, but yeah, I'm just gonna be noodling on this for a while, because I think I spend, and most founders spend, way too much time on customers that aren't the right fit, when the better thing to do is just get the customers in the middle to succeed even more, and just get the ones that are already succeeding to never want to leave and start spreading the word. And it's like, it's a really hard lesson to learn, but I just think that has to be the right play. It's like, put in the best practices so that you make sure to get as many of those kind of people over the hump. But if they're still not getting over the hump, it's probably not worth it to keep going after it aggressively in a non-scalable way. But a lot to think about, a lot that we're working on. So next week, I think, is going to be another one where we're just kind of catching up on what we've been doing, how it's going. And hopefully people enjoy that. But if you have any questions, any thoughts, please don't hesitate to reach out. I would really do appreciate any and all feedback.
Awesome. Thanks, Andy. This was fun.
Yeah. Have a good one. Thanks for listening, everybody.